నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. అనన్యాశక్యం అహం ఏవం విధో అర్జున, జ్ఞాతుం ద్రష్టుం చ తత్వేన ప్రవేష్టుం చ పరంతప.
Mission and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Arjun, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Purport. Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service. He explicitly explains this in this verse so that unauthorized commentators who try to understand Bhagavad Gita by the speculative process will know that they are simply wasting their time. No one can understand Krishna or how he came from parents in a four-handed form and at once change himself into a two-handed form. These things are very difficult to understand by the study of the Vedas or by philosophical speculation. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that no one can see him or enter into the understanding of these matters. Those who, however, are very experienced students of the Vedic literature can learn about him from the Vedic literature in so many ways. There are so many rules and regulations, and if one at all wants to understand Krishna, he must follow the regulative principles prescribed in the authoritative literature. One can perform penance in accordance with those principles. For example, to undergo serious penances, one may observe fasting on Janmashtami, the day on which Krishna appeared, and on the 2 days of Ekadashi, the 11th day after the new moon and the 11th day after the full moon. As far as charity is concerned, it is plain that charity should be given to the devotees of Krishna who are engaged in the devotional service to spread the Krishna philosophy or Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Krishna consciousness is a benediction to humanity. Lord Chaitanya was appreciated by Rup Goswami as the most munificent man of charity because love of Krishna, which is very difficult to achieve, was distributed freely by him. So if one gives some amount of his money to persons involved in distributing Krishna consciousness, that charity given to spread Krishna consciousness is the greatest charity in the world. And if one worships as prescribed in the temple, in the temples in India, there is always some statue, usually of Vishnu or Krishna. That is a chance to progress by offering worship and respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the beginners in devotional service to the Lord, temple worship is essential, and this is confirmed in the Vedic literature, Sutashvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasyaite kathita hi artha prakashante mahatmana. One who has unflinching devotion for the Supreme Lord and is directed by the spiritual master, in whom he has similar unflinching faith, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revelation. One cannot understand Krishna by mental speculation. For one who does not take personal training under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, It is impossible to even begin to understand Krishna. The word tu is specifically used here to indicate that no other process can be used, can be recommended, or can be successful in understanding Krishna. The personal forms of Krishna, the two-handed form and the four-handed, are completely different from the temporary universal form shown to Arjuna. The four-handed form of Narayan and the two-handed form of Krishna are eternal and transcendental, whereas the universal form exhibited to Arjuna is temporary. The very word Sudurdarsham, meaning difficult to see, suggests that no one had seen that universal form. It also suggests that amongst the devotees there was no necessity of showing it. That form was exhibited by Arjuna, by Krishna, at the request of Arjuna, so that in the future, when one represents himself as an incarnation of God, people can ask to see his universal form. The word na, used repeatedly in the previous verse, indicates that one should not be very much proud of such credentials as academic education in Vedic literature. One must take to the devotional service of Krishna. Only then can one attempt to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Krishna changes from the universal form to the four-handed form of Narayan and then to his own natural form of two hands. This indicates that the four-handed forms and other forms mentioned in the Vedic literature are all emanations of the original two-handed Krishna. He is the origin of all emanations. Krishna is distinct even from these forms, what to speak of the impersonal conception. As far as the four-handed forms of Krishna are concerned, it is stated clearly that even the most identical four-handed form of Krishna, which is known as Mahavishnu, who is lying on the cosmic ocean and from whose breathing so many innumerable universes are passing out and entering, is also an expansion of the Supreme Lord. As is stated in the Brahma Samhita, Yasyaika nishvasita kalamathavalambya jivantiloma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur mahansa ihayasya kala vishesho Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The Mahavishnu, into whom all the innumerable universes enter and from whom they come forth again simply by his breathing process, is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Therefore, I worship Govinda, Krishna, the cause of all causes. Therefore, one should conclusively worship the personal form of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has eternal bliss and knowledge. He is the source of all forms of Vishnu, he is the source of all forms of incarnation, and he is the original Supreme Personality as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In the Vedic literature, Gopal Tapni Upanishad, the following statement appears: Satchidananda Rupaya Krishna Klishtaya Karine Namo Vedanta Vedyaya Gurave Buddhi Sakshine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Krishna, who has a transcendental form of bliss, eternity, and knowledge. I offer my respect to him, because understanding him means understanding the Vedas, and he is therefore the supreme spiritual master. Then it is said, Krishno vai paramam daivatam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Gopal Tapni Upanishad 1.3. Eko vasi sarvagah Krishna idyah. That one Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is worshipable. Eko pi san bahudha yo vibhati. Krishna is one, but he is manifested in unlimited forms and expanded incarnations. Gopal Tapa Upanishad 1.21. Then Brahma Samhita again says 5.1. Ishwarah Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, who has a body of eternity, knowledge and bliss. He has no beginning, for he is the beginning of everything. He is the cause of all causes. Elsewhere it is said, Yatravatirnam Krishnakhyam Parama Brahma Narakriti. The Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. His name is Krishna, and he sometimes descends on this earth. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a description of all kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this list, the name Krishna also appears. But then it is said that this Krishna is not an incarnation of God, but is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Ete cham skala pumsam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti tananjaya. There is nothing superior to my form as the Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He also says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Aham adir hi devanam. I am the origin of all the demigods. And after understanding Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, Arjuna also confirms this in the following words, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. I now fully understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, and that you are the refuge of everything. Therefore, the universal form which Krishna showed to Arjuna is not the original form of God. The original is the Krishna form, the universal form with its thousands and thousands of heads and hands, is manifest just to draw the attention of those who have no love for God. It is not God's original form. The universal form is not attractive for pure devotees who are in love with the Lord in different transcendental real relationships. The Supreme Godhead exchanges transcendental love in his original form of Krishna. Therefore, to Arjuna, who was so intimately related with Krishna in friendship, this form of universal manifestation was not pleasing. Rather, it was fearful. Arjuna, who was a constant companion of Krishna's, must have had transcendental eyes. He was not an ordinary man. Therefore, he was not captivated by the universal form. This form may seem wonderful to persons who are involved in elevating themselves by fruitive activities. But to persons who are engaged in devotional service, the two-handed form of Krishna is most dear. Explanatory purport, very big purport, because it is such a crucial verse. And this verse and the next verse, as per Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is considered also as the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So that's why to understand this verse is very, very crucial. And that's why such a big explanation is required. This verse can be better appreciated in the context which is set by the previous verse. Actually, what happens, Krishna shows his universal form to Arjuna because Arjuna wants to see. And as the context again set by the 10th chapter, that in 10th chapter Krishna, Arjuna asks that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please tell me, how am I to remember you every time? Please tell me a way. And you say that you are the Supreme Controller. Then can you tell me how you are controlling everything? And then Krishna explains him the Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means that opulence by which Krishna controls everything. And thus he explains again how among the wild animals I am lion. Lion is the controller among all animals. Among all the trees I am the Vatavriksha. Because all the atmosphere around, all the vegetation around develops around the Ashwatha tree, the banyan tree. So like that he explains the whole thing, but then Arjun wants to, now he has understood, but he wants the same thing to be seen by others. That people don't just say that Krishna just spoke everything, but he should have shown something tangible, because these things can be told by anyone. So then Krishna showed his universal form, and then he shows that how the whole universe is there in the universal form. All the living entities are there in the universal form. All the spaces, all the places of the universe are there in the universal form. Not only that, at every place, whatever thing has happened or is happening or will happen in future, all things are there in the universal form. Quite a mesmerizing and maddening experience. So after showing that form, Arjun is very much perplexed, because it is very, 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 very difficult experience to perceive. So after that, he is saying, please show me your four-handed form so that I get pacified. And Krishna very lovingly shows his four-handed Vishnu form, and after that he shows his two-handed form. And then Krishna says in this verse, 53rd verse, just previous to this verse, the form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. In other words, Krishna is saying something like this, that see, you have many, many fuels to run many, many engines and many, many automobiles and many, many machines. But if you want to put the rocket or satellite go up, then that fuel doesn't work there. Those coals or those petrols or those diesels, that won't work there. Why? Because it requires a different type of fuel. And Krishna here indicates. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurnithai ki jai, Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal ji ki, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So Krishna says that all these processes one can be very, very proud of, thinking that, oh, I give so many charity, so much charity, I do so much tapasya, or I know so much knowledge. But Krishna is far beyond all these endeavors. And these are good for purification of a person, elevating one's consciousness, good for having a virtuous life. And in today's term, when we say be good, do good, so these things add to those virtues, but they don't lead to seeing the personal form of the Lord. And many, many places Krishna is saying that knowing Him as it is, tatvataha, is the goal. And time and again, we see that people get confused. What is the meaning of knowing Krishna tatvata as it is? Especially those who have not met devotees. They are always confused. Those who have met devotees and they have been with devotees for some time, because devotees have understood so easily by other devotees, so they very easily impart the knowledge, and we come to know very easily who is Krishna. Knowing Krishna as it is means knowing Krishna's form. And Krishna's form is non-different than Krishna. our form and we are different. We are the spirit soul. This body is just an effect of material desires. So we are not the body. Body changes, but we are the spirit soul. But that doesn't apply with Krishna. Krishna is his body, and Krishna himself are just one and the same. The effulgence comes out from his body, that is Brahma Jyoti, but that is dependent on him. He is expanding himself in the form of Paramatma and sitting in everybody's heart, but he is the source of all that Paramatma. So, knowing Krishna as it is very, very important. And that has been set right from the beginning in the fourth chapter when Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvatah tyaktya deham punarjanma nayeti mameti swarjuna. That my birth and my activities are transcendental. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvatah. One who knows it as it is. Tyaktva deham, giving up the body. Punarjanma, again a rebirth. Nayeti, mameti. Again, rebirth does not happen. Mameti, he comes to me. Mameti su Arjuna. O Arjun, this is the destiny. Now, again, knowing Krishna's birth and pastimes are very difficult. Tattvata. And there are people who say Krishna has no form and the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is speaking through Krishna. So knowing Krishna as it is means knowing that. So again, this develops little doubt. What is the truth? Tattvatah means what? Again. Again, second place Krishna says, knowing Tattvatah. Where it is? Manushyanam sahastreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschit mamveti tattvatah. Manushyanam sahastreshu. Among thousands and thousands of men, kaschit yatati siddhaye. Hardly one tries to perfect his life. Yatatam api siddhanam, and those who have already perfected their lives, kaschin mamveti tattvata. Hardly there is one who knows me as I am. So again, what is tattvata? And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in the 18th chapter, very clearly says, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanya chashmi tattvata. By devotional service, you know me as I am. But by devotional service, whether I will know him as a person, a personal form, or impersonal? Here is the clear-cut answer. These two verses very, very clearly says, you know him as a form or impersonal. Very clear. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes. Evam vidho drashtum drashtavanasi mam yatha. As you are seeing me standing now. People ask, I wonder, long back, I had a friend. I went to his house and said, he came to know that I am becoming a practitioner of Krishna consciousness and I worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he asked, you worship Krishna? Which Krishna? I said, which Krishna means God? Krishna means who is Yadav, who is a cowherd boy, who lives in Vrindavan. That Krishna. He said, oh, that Krishna. So which Krishna did you think? People think Krishna means some concept or some utopian idea. But here, Krishna is very clearly saying, as you can see me standing in front of you, I am that person. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas or by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. And then he says, how I can be understood? My dear Arjun, only by undivided devotional service. Ananya, undivided. That means no mixture of fruitive activities, karma or jnana or speculative knowledge. Only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you. and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So first he shows that here this form which you are seeing is the ultimate. And then he says only by devotional service you can understand it. So that tattvataha is here used. Gyatum drashtum cha tattvena. As I am, if you want to know, here it is, by devotional service. And how, as you are seeing me standing in front of you. Very clear. Krishna leaves no doubt. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri and he met Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, "You are just 24-year-old sannyasi and you are so beautiful. How can you maintain your sannyas? You cannot remain in renounced order unless and until you are completely well-versed with the philosophy of absolute truth. So I will enlighten you." And he started enlightening in his own way, giving the interpretations which he had learned in his Mayavada school, where he says, God is impersonal. And for 7 days he goes on speaking, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listens to it. And after listening to everything, very humbly, he is sitting, and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya asks, "So have you understood everything? You didn't ask any question for last 7 days. So, tell me, have you understood?" He says, "The Supreme Absolute Truth, God, is as clear as sun. But you, by your interpretation, have put so many clouds in front of that sun that I cannot see the truth." And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was shocked. He said, "Are, how can you say that? That means, do you have a better understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth? Then you speak." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started explaining that how God is a person and how he has clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and throughout Vedanta Sutras, how it is emphasized that Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. He is a cause of all causes. So, when he explained like this very elaborately, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya could clearly understand that how Supreme Absolute Truth, God, is a person and is not an impersonal effulgence. Now, this is what we are talking, seems to be little argumentative, right? That some say there is form, some say there is no form, and these people are someone who are following a form, so they are saying like this. And if I go to some other place who say there is no form, they will explain something in an opposite manner. So how to reconcile for this? And these are so subtle subject matters that just by argumentation nobody can reach to any conclusion. So how to start getting the clear-cut picture? So Bhagavatam, second canto, describes the basic, that how a person starts religiosity. What should be the disposition of a person who wants to approach dharma? And it is said, two qualifications are required. Number one, he should be honest. And second, he should be open-minded. He should be honest to accept that he is unhappy because of the sufferings coming from lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. These impulses are constantly coming inside the heart of every living entity, and they are causing so many wrong activities, so many wrong thoughts, so many wrong words, and because of which a person is always unhappy. So that honesty should be there. And then it says open-mindedness. One should be open-minded to accept a solution of these impurities in the heart. How to come out of this lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. That is the open-mindedness. Now, open-mindedness in today's world, they will say, come on, you don't eat fish, you don't drink beer. Why you are acting like this? You should be open-minded. You should be accepting everything. Now, a person who is a diabetic, and he says, I am open-minded, and that's why I accept sugar. I accept sweets. That open-mindedness is rationalized? No. That is not rational. Open-minded means you know what is your problem and you are open to the solution. You are not open to increase your problems further. And that's why open-mindedness means always in context with honesty. Open-mindedness for a person who is not honest is self-destructive, it could be. And majority of the time it is self-destructive. So, first thing a person needs, who approaches dharma, is honesty and open-mindedness. And he should constantly introspect himself through these two means. Coming to dharma, he needs these two things. And even after coming, he constantly needs this. These two things are inseparable from a person's character when he tries to practice dharma. Now, in this regard, we see that how a person can take further steps. Srila Prabhupada used to tell a very simple story, but very meaningful story. There was a man in a village, and he had a desire to serve the best person in the village. So he went to the Mukhya and he said, oh Mukhyaji, you are the best person. I want to serve you. So the Mukhya said, okay. And he would serve the Mukhya very, very nicely. And Mukhya was very, very happy with his service. And then one day the Mukhya went to the city. And there he went to meet the mayor of the city. So this servant asked, where did you go? He said, I went to the city to meet the mayor. He said, acha, who is he? He said, he is the main person of the whole city. He is the best person of the whole city. And many, many such villages like ours fall under this city. So, acha, that means he is still better than you. He said, of course. He said, can I serve him? He said, very nice. And then one day, when the Mukhya was going to meet the mayor, he said, wow, if I take this servant of mine, mayor would be so happy and so favorably he will become disposed to me. So he took the man along with him to the city, and he met the mayor, and he said, oh mayor, I want to give you a nice person to serve you. He wants to serve you. The mayor became very happy. He went on serving the mayor very nicely. One day, the mayor went to some other place, to the kingdom, capital of the whole state. And when he came back, again this person asked, where did you go? He said, I went to see the king. He said, acha, king is somebody better than you? He says, of course. I report to him. And many, many, many people like me report to him. So he said, can I serve the king? He said, why not? And the mayor thought, he serves me so nicely. If I give him to the king, king will always remember me. So he handed the person to the king when he went to the king next time. And the king would serve, the man would serve the king very, very nicely. And one day, the guru of the king who was like a very big saint, he came to meet the king. And this man, he saw that the king is bowing down in front of his guru and serving him very menially, obediently and humbly. So when the guru was resting at other place, the guru had gone. Then he asked the king, "Oh king, who was he?" He said, "He was my guru." "He is better than you?" He said, "Of course, he is my guru, he is my everything." He said, "Can I serve him?" He said, "Of course." And he thought, if my guru gets such a servant, oh, my guru would be so happy. So he presented him to his guru. So his guru was very happy, and he would serve his guru very nicely. And he would see his guru, the saint, always worshipping Vishnu. He said, "Who is he?" He said, "He is God." He says, "God? Of course." "So he is better than you?" He says, "Of course." "There are many, many saints who are always taking shelter of him. He is the supreme personality of Godhead." He said, "Can I serve him?" He says, "Yes." "So where am I to find him?" "Oh, you want to serve him? There is a temple outside this place." At a particular place he pointed out that there was a Vishnu temple. "You go and you will get him and you can serve him there." He said, "Okay." So this person is started for that temple. And he was going. It became very late in night. And when he reached the temple, it was very late in night. And the temple was closed and it was very, very cold. He had no other way, but so he just slept at the veranda of the temple. And after some time, he fell asleep, very deep sleep. And in the morning, when the pujaris, they were about to wake up the deity, Vishnu deity, they found that the Vishnu's chadar is gone. And then they saw that this man is sleeping, and Vishnu's chadar is on that man. So he thought, all the pujaris thought that this man had entered and stolen the chadar. But then, when he was woken up and he was like told that, "How come you took this?" Then he says, I didn't know that this chadar came to me." And then later on Vishnu said to the pujari that actually he came to meet me and he was shivering in cold outside. That's why I personally put my chadar on him. So we see that how a simplicity of service, and what it had to, it had a honesty that in service I see happiness. He saw a positive part. And he was open-minded for other solutions. Went on accepting. And he went on getting higher and higher services, which ultimately led him to serving God. And in this regard, we get a very profound principle, which is called pragmatism. Always in this world, there are two types of people. Pragmatics and skeptics. When a truth is told to a pragmatic will say, "I'll practice it and see what happens." But a skeptic, he says, "Let me see what ways it could be wrong. If it is no way wrong, then I will accept." Both are questioning. The pragmatic will also question. He will say, "Let me check how it is right." And he practices. And the skeptic, he says, "Let me see how it is wrong." Just the other way. And the skeptic falls into the network of big arguments and this and that. And it becomes very difficult for him to get the truth. Like we see, Srila Prabhupada went to the West. And so many people, hippies, they were like just coming to Srila Prabhupada.
They just followed what Srila Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, God is blue. They all said, God is blue. They had not seen God. This Prabhupada said, God stands with a flute. They accepted, yes, God stands with a flute. Now, can we say them a blind follower? Yes, in some way you can say, because they followed. But, are they pragmatic or a skeptic? They were pragmatic. Every time they asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how come this is true? How come this is true? And that's how they came to know everything. They could write big, big scriptures later on. They could write commentaries on the scriptures. They finished Srimad Bhagavatam when Srila Prabhupada passed away. When Srila Prabhupada left from this world. So, we see that they were pragmatics. Those who question how it is right. Actually, Vedas say this, phalena parichayate. Follow the process, see the fruit, and then you understand the authenticity of the process. Like in chemistry, we read that add concentrated sulfuric acid and caustic soda, and this should be the proportion, this should be the temperature, this should be the pressure, and you will get this salt and this water. And we read that theory, and we did the process, and then we come to, then we see that salt and water has come, and then we say, yes, this process was right. But a skeptic will say, are, how can you say that? This is this, how they are both boiling hot, sulfuric acid is fuming, and caustic soda is also fuming. You are telling me to add them, why should I add them? I have no time for this, number one. Or if you say, if I have time, okay, but I don't want to add. Okay, even if you say, I should add, I want to add, but I don't believe that this is the salt, or this is the water. If that, he falls into that argument, then he will never understand that chemistry. In fact, majority of the knowledge which we have got in our life is, we got the knowledge, we understood it, we practiced, and thus we assimilated that in our life. So, the Niti Shloka says these four things. First, I accept. In terms of knowledge, I accept. Then second is, I understand. Then third is, I practice. And fourth is, I realize. So, these are the four things which are, all four are supposed to happen. If you ask Bhagavad Gita, or any scripture, there are many people in India, they know many, many things. But they say, ye sab chalta phirta gyan hai. Ye sab to pata hi hai. Ye sab to common hai. Why they say like that? Because they have not understood it properly. They have not practiced it. All those people, they will say, it is not practical. Because they have not understood it at the very first place. But how they will practice it? So, knowing, understanding, practicing and realizing, all four are important. Just a simple truth. I am not the body, I am the soul. That's how the Bhagavad Gita starts. Just to understand it is so difficult. The simple material intelligence will not help. We need mercy of the Lord. And we need a lot of practice of devotional service to realize that. It's a very high realization. So just understanding and then practicing as a soul. And then eventually a person realizes, I am the spirit soul. So if this just understanding, I am the soul, just realizing that is so difficult. How difficult it is to realize who is God, what is His form, what is the ultimate, that is very high. Just to realize that we are a spirit soul is so high. So, here we need to accept all four, the knowledge, the understanding, the practice, and thus we get the realization. But the point is, we are to get the knowledge. That's like, we are coming to the basics. We are to get the knowledge. Because there are so many people who are speaking so many things. There are so many arguments which can be cut by other arguments. There are some people telling something, other people saying something.
So how to accept? What is the standard? So, in this context, Mahabharata tells a very beautiful verse. Tarko apratishtha, shutayo vibhinna. Munayo na eka yasya matir na bhinnam. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. Mahajano yenagata sapantha. It accepts the truth. It says, tarko apratishtha. Each and every argument can be cut by other argument. Tarko apratishtha. Shutayo vibhinna. There are different verses substantiating different points. Shutayo vibhinna. Munayo na eka yasya matirna bhinnam. There is no muni whose opinion is not different from other muni. All munis are fighting with each other. Muni means one who gives his opinion. One muni is not considered as a muni unless and until he gives a different opinion. So dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. As a result of all these conflicts, what has happened? Dharmasya tattva, the truth of religion, truth of dharma, nihitam guhaya, remains very, very mysterious. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya, mahajano yena gata sapantha. What is the way to understand the mysteries of religion, to understand the truth? The truth of God, the truth of the soul, the truth of life, the truth of this world. What's the way? Mahajano yena gata sapantha. To follow the path of those who are Mahajan. And who are Mahajan? That is explained by Yamraj in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when he is educating the Yamadutas and he is saying, that Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Narad, Sukhdeva Goswami, Janak Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Four Kumaras, Bhishma Dev, Swayambhu Manu, and then ultimately he says, and lastly he said, and my humble self is also one of them. So, in this way, we see that 12 Mahajanas are recognized in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. And whatever they have set up, whatever path they have shown, that's the path of religion. That's the way one should follow to understand the truths. Because, what is pragmatism? Why a person is following dharma? Why a person comes to dharma? To align his life with the truth. That's the purpose. Because in day-to-day life, we do not go by the truth. We remain deluded by so-called effects of the truth. And that's why we very, very symptomatically live. Like, we have a pain and we use painkiller instead of actually treating the cause of the pain, which could be other disease. So we don't address the cause, the truth. We just go by the effect and try to subdue the effect. So here, a person comes to dharma because he wants to align his life with the truth. Truths of life. So when a person goes to Mahajan or a person who is following Mahajan, they are described in Padma Puran, that there are 4 sampradayas. One is starting with one Mahajan, Lord Shiva. So that is school is called Rudra Sampradaya, in which Vallabhacharya comes. And then there is other school starting from Lord Brahma, Brahma Sampradaya, in which ISKCON comes, Gaudiya Math comes, Madhva Sampradaya comes. And then there is that other school starting from 4 sons of Brahmajis, Sanat, Sanak, Sanatan and Sanandan, and then to their disciples, in which we see the followers of Nimbarkacharya, they come in that sampradaya. And then is the 4th school, starting with Lakshmi Devi, the personal consort of the Lord. And this school is called Sri Sampradaya, in which Yamunacharya, Ramanujacharya, Parashar Bhatta, they come. So in this way, we see that these 4 sampradayas are there.
And here it is called sampradaya. Sampradaya means that where everything is completely given. Pradaya means to give. Sampradaya means completely given. So the where the truth is completely given. And in these four sampradayas, the truths which are enunciated by these 12 Mahajanas, they are practiced and followed. So when we reach a person in these four lines, in these four schools, what do they teach us? They say that how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that will satisfy the soul. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo, Yatha Bhaktir Adhokshajay, Ahaituki Apratihata, Yayatma Suprasidati. Savai Pumsam, for all humanity at large. Savai Pumsam, Paro Dharma, the supreme dharma, the supreme religion. Yatha Bhaktir Adhokshaje. The devotional service to whom? Adhokshaj. Vishnu is called Adhokshaj. Adhokshaj means one who is beyond the sense perception. Adhokshaj, one who is beyond the sense perception. Vishnu is that person. So, devotional service to Adhokshaj, to Vishnu, is the supreme form of religiosity. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo, Yatha Bhaktir Adhokshaje. And then, to get the complete result, it says, Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. What will completely satisfy the soul? Yayatma Suprasidati. Suprasidati means completely satisfy the soul. Yayatma Suprasidati. What will satisfy? That bhakti which is ahaituki apratihata, that which is unconditional and unmotivated, which does not have any material condition or material motivation, that will completely satisfy the soul. And that devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will give the ultimate satisfaction to the soul. Right now we can see that mind never stays at one place. Always it goes here and there. Why? Because mind wants that ultimate happiness. And it is seeking always, always, always. And that's why it never stays at one place. And if we want that supreme satisfaction to be given to the soul, then how it is possible? Here it is said that devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unconditional, unmotivated devotional service, is what will satisfy the soul. But then a person may ask, you are saying devotional service to someone who is adhokshaj, who is beyond the senses. I can't see him. I can't touch him. I can't hear him. I can't touch him, smell him. How am I to do service to him? So when you come to such people, they say, that is, they accept this truth. They say, Atas Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahayam Indriye Seva Unmukhehi Jihvado Swayam Evas Purati Adha. They say, Atas Shri Krishna Namadi. The Lord's name, form, pastimes, everything is beyond our senses. They say, yes, it's true. Nabhaved Grahaya Indriye. They cannot be perceived by the senses. That is truth. Then how to approach him? Sevon mukhehi jivvado. That is, by rendering service. How that service starts? Jivvado, by jivva, by the tongue. That service will start. Here the practice starts with the tongue. Sevon mukhehi jivvado, swayam eva sphuratihada. It manifests itself automatically. Itself it will manifest. It's how the form is, how it looks, how it smells, how it is to smell the Lord, how it is to see the Lord, how it is to hear the Lord, how it is to touch the Lord, how it is to taste the Lord. It all manifests just by the tongue. How it will start with the tongue? Tongue does two things. Number one, it vibrates. So we chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, we take the holy names of the Lord. We take the message of the Lord with this mouth. And second, mouth has the other activities, that is to eat. And that is very easy. Eat the foodstuffs offered to the Lord. When we put the food, simple food, without which doesn't have the onion, garlic and other such unwanted things, and we just put it in front of the Lord, and Prabhupada said, just tell the Lord, eat it. It's so simple. And Lord will eat it. Keep it for some time, he will eat it. Take it out. Now Lord's saliva is there in that food. And Lord's saliva is there or not, there is a proof. What is the proof? If you eat this food for 1 month, your taste for all other food will go away. And you would only like to eat this food. That is the proof that Lord's saliva is there. That saliva is the taste which this tongue is actually hankering. And in search of that taste, it may sometimes go from Kalyan to Dadar for a vada pav, or come to Chowpatty for bhelpuri, or can go for a pizza for any Domino's pizza, or anywhere. But it doesn't get that. Why? Because actually it is hankering for that saliva of the Lord, which is there in that food which is offered to the Lord. And the proof of that saliva is that once you start regularly taking such food, you are completely averse to all so many delicious dishes which you were so much addicted earlier. You are no more attracted to them. That's the proof. So, Sevun mukhehi jihvado swayam eva spurati adha. Automatically after 1 month you are seeing that I don't like all those food now. I just want this. Automatically I don't know why this form is so nice. I don't know why I'm chanting, but I like chanting. And there are so many who say, oh, can I increase the rounds? How come that is? And they, so many times they don't say, and privately they have increased their rounds to 16 rounds. So many times it happens. So Atash, so this verse is there. And now, whether God has a form or not, when we do this process, the very thought process becomes very clean. You know what is the nature of mind? Mind is like a armchair, you know. That chair which we use for comfort, it just rolls like this, but it goes nowhere. Similarly is the mind. It goes on thinking something, but it gives you no conclusion. It just makes us more confused. Because it is thinking so many things. So, mind, though it always is moving, like that armchair, but goes nowhere. Takes you nowhere. So gives no conclusion. So God has a form or not, or God is how God looks, and how God walks or talks. We can just go on imagining, but it doesn't give any conclusion. The mind will never give. But when we do this devotional service, the whole thought process goes on becoming very, very clean. And thus, our thought process will be progressively be led to the conclusions. And then we will understand this Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by the Lord. It is called Bhagavad Gita. That means, Bhagavad means God. Gita means song, song of God. And the very beginning, Vyasadeva is writing, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sanjay is saying, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. What does it mean? Bhagavan means what? Parashar Muni describes, what does it Bhagavan means? Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnan vairagya shadam bhagam iti. Gana. So, he says, Bhagavan means six things in full. He is called Supreme Bhagavan. That is, he is all beautiful. You can think Krishna. So beautiful. All beautiful. Second, all knowledgeable. He is the one who gives the Vedas. It is said the Vedas came by his breathing. And he spoke Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Vedic knowledge.
full of knowledge, full of all renounced. He is the one who is the most renounced. In the assembly of Rajasuya Yajna, when Krishna was elected as the president of the whole assembly, Duryodhan, he revolted and he said, how can he be accepted as the president or the chief of the whole assembly? He who used to associate with others' women. And then Bhishmadeva gets up and Bhishmadeva says that I am celebrated in the whole world as the greatest of all brahmachari, but even I cannot maintain my brahmacharya if I have to associate with so many women. But Krishna, though he associates with all of them, he is completely unagitated. And that is the proof that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is the person fit to accept the first worship, the Agra Puja, of the chief of the assembly. So he is all renounced. And who is saying? Bhishmadev, one of the Mahajan, he is establishing it. And then, all renounced. And then, he is all wealthy. All wealth belongs to him. Whatever we have, it belongs to him. He has given for some time, and when he wants, he takes it back. So, all wealthy. And fifth is, he is all strong. He is so mighty, he just takes up the Govardhan Parvat on just little finger of his left hand, which is the weakest. And there are much more description of his strength, which does not fall in the scope of this class. And then is sixth, that is, he's all famous. Everybody is talking about God. The atheists are talking about God and how he doesn't exist. And others are saying how he exists. There is no person in the whole world who has no opinion about God, which shows that how he is all famous. How everyone is talking about God. So, the word Bhagavan means all six things. Now, Roop is a part of Bhaga. Bhaga means opulences. And Van means one who has those opulences. Balvan means one who has Bal. Buddhivan means one who has Buddhi. Dhanvan, one who has Dhan. Bhagavan means one who has Bhaga. What are Bhaga? These are the six Bhaga. And we see one bhag is his roop and other bhaga are his qualities. Vedas say he is nirakar or arup. But that Vedas say like this because his roop is transcendental, is not material. Vedas say he is nirakar because his akar is not material, it is transcendental. That's why materially speaking he is nirakar. But transcendentally, he has an akar. As this word Bhagavan itself suggests. And it says nirgun. Vedas say he is nirgun. Why? Because he has no material gun. But he has all his spiritual gun, as the Vedas itself is saying. Bhagavan, the very word means this. He has all spiritual qualities. He has a spiritual form. And which is all beautiful. Not a simple form, it is all beautiful form. So, the word very Bhagavan means all these things. And from the beginning till end, Bhagavad Gita says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. And then Krishna says, I am that Bhagavan. And somebody may say, how come Krishna is saying I am that Bhagavan? There are people who just want to find fault in Krishna. So somehow or other they will find some fault anyway. Now, here, Srila Prabhupada in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says a beautiful thing. He says, the principal of a college signs so many mark sheets, right? And his signing on those mark sheets is like a routine. Similarly, Krishna speaks Vedas. Why he speaks the Vedas from his nostrils? Because through nostrils, regular activity of breathing takes place. Breathing is a regular activity. That's why Vedas are known as Ritu.
Ritu means richa, ritu. Why? Because it's a regular activity. Nothing is special. Like the principal signing in so many mark sheets. Nothing is special. But if the same principal, before the exam, he writes you a letter. My dear Amit, wish you all the best for the coming exam. You have always been very, very hardworking and very intelligent. You have been so obedient and pleasing to all your teachers. Your disposition in your academics and your approach to the academics is very pleasing to all the teachers. We all wish you all the best for your upcoming exam. And then he puts his signature. Whether that signature is same as the signature on the mark sheet is not the same. This signature is very, very special. It's very personal. Similarly, when Krishna speaks Gita, the Vedas, it's a regular activity. It's for everyone. It's just a general condition. But when he gives Bhagavad Gita, it is his burning concern for Arjun. Not just Arjun. All devotees, all living entities, every living entity whom Arjuna is representing. It's the burning concern of God which makes him speak Bhagavad Gita. And out of his burning concern that even after saying so clearly people will be confused, he says time and again, me, me, worship me. Man mana, think me. Bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Mad yaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, pay your obeisances unto me. Mam evaishyasi satyamte, you will definitely come to me. Pratijane priyo asime, I am telling you truth because you are so dear a devotee to me. Hare Krishna, Dandavat. Granthraj Shrimad